It's time for Firearm Friday, a podcast dedicated to bringing together the firearm industry and community. Now here's your host, from the great state of Texas, the tactical leprechaun himself, Chris Dover.
TGIF crew, and welcome to the show. I am Chris Dover, and today we're going to be talking with Dave Howard. Now, Dave is the owner of Effective Range Targets, which is a very innovative target that really puts the whole idea of long-range hunting into perspective and helps one better practice for those long-range hunts. But first, let's talk just for a minute about Ontario Knife Company. Now, OKC has been making premium quality knives since 1889. And over there on their website, they have a variety of cool blades, from cutlery sets for your kitchen to those hunting knives and much, much more. So check them out. That's OntarioKnife.com. Okay, I've got Dave on the line this morning. How are you, Dave?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Chris, for asking. How are you?
I am well. I hear it's here you're out there watching the snow, basically, today. So that sounds
fun. Yeah, wonderful Colorado weather.
That sounds fun. So, we met up with you guys there. Finally, I think we talked to you actually a little bit prior to SHOT Show, and then met up with you there on the very windy, very cold range day.
Yes, it was windy, cold.
So, you have a pretty good experience there? Did you talk with a lot of people there at the range?
We had a great time at the SHOT Show, and first of all, we're such a new company, we could only get into the day of the range, and I enjoyed that. Chris, as you know, we're a family company, and my two sons came and were at the day at the range with me, and that was a good and bad experience, mostly for me, because the bad experience was I got to man the booth alone a lot, because my two sons wanted to go out and shoot every one of those new guns that they had at the day at the range.
Right. I guess that's one of the drawbacks of being the dad, maybe. The kids.
Yeah, it is. It is. And, but we certainly enjoyed it, and then we attended the SHOT Show as attendees, and of course, that's an overwhelming experience for people that don't know how much is on display there. They say if you spend 30 seconds at a booth, it would take you 5 full days to see every booth.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you're going to spend a lot more than that at most booths.
It is. And we were very fortunate to leverage the introductions we got at Range Day to some very wonderful, cool conversations and introductions to influencers in our industry.
That's great. It's great to hear. Sounds like that sounds to be the way that the show went for pretty much everybody this year. So it's really good to hear y'all had a great experience. Let's kind of jump back and start a little bit with a little bit of your background and your history and how the whole idea of these targets and the company, which is EffectiveRangeTargets.com, by the way. How all that came about? What is your story?
Story is kind of simple, Chris. I'm a fifth generation Coloradoan, born and raised in Colorado. So my roots in Colorado go back to the farming and ranching community. And as I grew up, it was a time that I was blessed that I got to hunt with my grandfather, my dad, his brother, my uncles, my cousins. And our family tradition was, when you were 10 years old, you were big enough to go walk with the adults big game hunting.
Nice.
Then when you turned 14 in Colorado at that time, you could get a big game license. So really, I had 4 years of tutelage under everybody from my grandfather, my father, my father's brother, all my uncles, of what they considered was the rules of fair chase, how to be a good hunter, you know, respect for the animal, tracking, you know, how you hunted. And so it was a really wonderful experience. And so I grew up hunting, and then I did the same with my kids. When they turned 10 years old, they could come big game hunting. Now, before that, we plinked around with 22s and, you know, squirrel hunted and rabbit hunted and that type of thing. But in regards to big game, it was the same process. 10 years old, walked till you could legally get a hunting license, and then they hunted with us. And we've enjoyed that family tradition, and hunting's kind of part of our lives, and fall is something we look forward to every year. So as life goes, you get older in life and you start reflecting back. And in the hunting industry, long range shooting 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago started to become more prevalent and more powerful within our industry. And my sons were now bringing friends of theirs hunting. And many of their friends is what we would call a first-generation hunter. Neither of their parents hunted. They didn't have the background that my kids had in hunting. And so we started having to kind of teach the things that my kids had learned, you know, 10, 20 years ago. And in fact, there were so many things that we took as second nature that we were amazed. And it kind of led us to start thinking about how can we help hunters be better hunters, okay? And in fact, just this past year, my son's friend who was hunting with them, we were walking out and we see a nice deer. His friend, my son had already filled his license. His friend pulls up and my son said, use the tree. Well, his friend shoots offhand and gets the deer. And my son looked over to him and said, why didn't you use the tree? And he goes, I have no idea what you mean. Okay? He had never been taught to, if you're next to a tree or a tree branch or lay your coat over a rock, he'd never been taught that. And it was so simple, we had never thought to teach him it either, okay? So our experiences were leading us that there's a lot of knowledge good hunters have that they don't communicate well. And we were having, his friend bought a beautiful 308 gun, bipod on the front, you know, a adjustable turret scope, and wanted to shoot long distance, okay? And we have hunted in this same area as a family for 50, 60 years. Wow. And we've kind of learned how far you can shoot by trial and error, and we're trying to teach him some ethics about long-range shooting. And those pieces kind of all added up together to us when another person in the industry sat me down and said, Dave, let me tell you how we're going to preserve honey. And he said, Dave, you understand a bell curve? I go, yep, I understand a bell curve. He says, well, on the right-hand side of this bell curve, there's 8% of America that doesn't hunt. And they are anti-honey. So 8% are anti-honey. On the left-hand side, there used to be 8% of America hunted. It's now down to 5% that have hunted, that hunt. So the future of hunting is not the 5% that does against the 8% that hates hunting. The real future of hunting is in the center, society itself, that 84 to 86%, however you calculate that.
Right.
If they think hunting is okay, it's ethical, it's a heritage, it's a right we should have, as long as society believes that, and we're over the median line of that bell curve, we're going to have hunting.
Right.
So I decided, I had this idea of a target that would teach a person their ethical distance they could shoot and expect a one-shot humane kill. And we created a target that you set at 100 yards and it measures your ability out to 600 yards.
Right.
And our goal was to have something that every hunter could use that would make them a better hunter, more successful, have a better experience, and also would be a platform for us to talk to hunters and society about ethics and long-range ethics. Mm-hmm. So I created it and started using it. I shared it with some few people, and everybody says, man, this is what we need in the industry. You should think about taking this to market. And that started us down this path, Chris.
Mm-hmm. All right. It's kind of astonishing to hear the numbers that you talk about there, because, you know, another aspect of hunting, and this is something that I always push and advocate, especially when you get somebody that's, you know, that's anti-hunting, and you're talking with them, is the management portion. And even the people in the middle of that bell curve, seldom do they understand the management aspects. And we talk about this, or have talked about it in the past, at several functions and presentations that we've had to give before here locally, when we're talking to school kids and we're talking about hunting. And, you know, they don't want to, you know, the idea of going out and killing Bambi's mother is a little bit disturbing, you know, to some people. But when you put it in the perspective of, you know, look at, you know, if you don't control that population, and sometimes there are natural controls to a game population, and that's where your parks and wildlife and all of those guys do such a great job in, it seems like, from state to state, to, you know, monitoring all of that and making sure that that there's that happy balance, so we are able to hunt for generations into the future. But one of the things is, you know, for example, you've got around here, you can always tell when the deer population is high because the number of motor vehicle accidents that are involved with deer is higher. So you know that the population, it's always an indicator. And then you've got the issue of crops. You've got to think about that we talk to these kids about, and then we're like, you got to understand, if you've got an overpopulation of, and we're speaking in terms of deer, but really any game, this applies to any game, but you've got, you know, you've got your crops, and those are things that people eat. Those are things we have to eat. And if you've got an overpopulation, those deers, they have to find something to eat. And what are they going to eat? They're going to eat your crops. So, you know, you've got a situation that, I don't know, the world is a weird place when it kind of comes to the ecosystem, and I just see a lot of people don't see it. I mean, they see it as killing, or they see it as murder, or they, you know, whatever. And really, it's being a good steward of the land in that management aspect of things.
Well, around the world, the North American model of conservation is admired and has been tried to duplicate it. Be duplicated across the world. Conservation, as you and I know, should be defined and is defined as a proper use of a resource. Mm-hmm. And we as hunters believe that wild game is a resource. And for me and my family, we believe hunters are heroes. Because hunters are the ones that have established conservation. They are the ones that support the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, the Mule Deer Foundation, the Sheep Foundation, Ducks Unlimited, all those things. And if anybody wants to look at some cool statistics, the National Shooting Sports Foundation just put out some information that shows us how few of animals existed at different times in the last 150 years. And through hunters, we have brought them back from extinction to now stable populations in more states than they ever existed. And that's true with ducks, okay, with elk, pronghorn, mule deer, whitetail. In fact, in a few weeks here in Colorado, I'm going turkey hunting.
Nice.
And up till 50, 60 years ago, there were not huntable populations of Merriam turkeys in Colorado. And it's through hunters. I mean, Wayne Carlton, the famous call maker, is the pioneer of bringing turkeys to huntable populations in Colorado. Okay?
Right.
A hunter turned conservationist, okay, who supports how to manage our animal populations. And people need to understand that hunters are the biggest part of that solution. It's their money that has been spent for this. And most every hunter I know has a respect for the animal they hunt that is far greater than those that don't hunt. Mm-hmm. We think they want to be ethical. They want to do it right. We believe that. We think our targets are kind of like a guide to help the hunter be more successful,
right,
or the cool tool that Q made for James Bond, okay? That's what we see our targets at, you know, helping hunters be more successful, helping the hunter become the hunter everyone wants to hunt with. Because hunting the right way has allowed us to prove this model of conservation, and it will be the way that we can continue it forward so our children, our grandchildren, the children of our grandchildren have this wonderful sport of hunting to enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now I want to jump into, let's move into the products, Dave, a little bit and talk about those. When I had first ran across them, and let me take a moment and just say, I know that for those of you listening out there, you're not able to see these targets, so we'll do our best to try to explain what they're like, but definitely jump over on effectiverangetargets.com and take a look at them, and you'll be a little more familiar with, I guess, with what we're talking about. But when I had first, they first come across my radar and I seen them, the idea, first of all, to see somebody had these in production, to me was a little bit amazing, because I'd never seen anything like it, but for years I had kind of made my own homemade targets under a similar premise. And that premise was, you know, if my vital area, let's say, is, you know, 3 inches at 100 yards, well, you know, I extrapolate things out and it's like, well, it's going to be, you know, whatever, 2 inches, you know, inch and a half, whatever it might be, you know, 100 yards further and so forth and so on. And actually arranged, printed them out myself off the computer and would put those out at 100 yards and practice and play around with those. And your targets, they're a similar premise, but I don't want to oversimplify them because there's a lot of other really cool aspects to the targets that you guys put out. So can you explain a little bit about everything you can do with these targets?
Absolutely. Happy to do that, Chris. First of all, what we did is we, each of the targets we have is animal specific, and so it's based on the vital zone of that animal. The heart and lung area, the kind of the wheelhouse that if you shoot there, you know you're going to have a one-shot humane kill. So we went out and we first started, because we're from Colorado, we developed a target for the Rocky Mountain elk, the mule deer, and the pronghorn. And we went to everybody's favorite, and that is Professor Google, okay? And we started searching for the vital size of those three animals. And we couldn't easily find it. So our first step was to then get with some different sources. And we used everything within our ability. You know, we had game and fish departments. We had taxidermists. We had universities that study certain animals help us with determining the real vital size for those animals, okay? Mm-hmm. And then that vital size was the basis of our starting of the targets. We then determined what range do hunters really shoot at that the target could be most beneficial. And we, just like you said you did, we created a target that you set at 100 yards. We think 100 yards is a good distance and really is a great indication for many, many animals at a distance in which you could shoot from 0 to 100. The size of the vital really stays very much the same. And then the vital size to the shooter gets much smaller as it goes out beyond that. Mm-hmm. So we then extrapolated on our target. You set it at 100 yards, and we took those vital calculations and did the calculations that would simulate that size at different yardages. So our target has the vital at 100 and then shows you the vital size at seen at 100 from 200 to 600 yards. And what this allows the shooter to do is shoot at the target, depending upon what ring of the target his bullets are in, it will tell him how far he could ethically shoot, and his bullets would remain in the vital zone for that particular animal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So our next step was deal with people that do a lot of shoot training. Okay? And we found that the NRA and others have done a lot of research on how many bullets does it take to start to measure a person's ability. And we determined for us that 5 was the number. Mm-hmm. That you have to shoot at our target 5 times from the same hunting position. Then you don't take the best or the first or the third shot or the best grouping. It's actually the worst shot that you made in those 5. The ring that that's in is your effective range. Mm-hmm. How far you could shoot and expect a one-shot kill at that.
Right.
And because we know in hunting there's buck fever that's running up the hill, there's everything that many times it might not be your best shot in that group of 5. It could be your worst shot. Mm-hmm. So we want that measured. And just a funny side story here, my son and I, Sunday night, we're at the Western Hunt Expo. It was over. We're watching TV, and we got done, and here's the biathlon being done at the old Olympic Stadium in Utah. So they're cross-country skiing, and they're shooting at targets, okay? Mm-hmm. And what we noticed is every shooting station, every position, they make those Olympians for Olympic and world champions that this was, there's 5-round discs they have to shoot off of. How many? 5.
Right.
To measure their skill level, in that event, they're doing just what our targets do. You have to shoot 5 times to measure your ability. Mm-hmm. So that's the basis of the targets that we had. And then we did 2 or 3 other cool things that are very subtle. We have different points of aim because we want our targets to be used by anybody. In today's world, Chris, a lot of the new guns are coming with scopes that have adjustable turrets. You can dial your distance from zero out to infinity. So on our targets, you have an adjustable turret rifle. You would turn it to 100 and shoot at the center bullseye. Then under the center bullseyes, there's 3 more bullseyes. And some people get confused with this, but this we did for universal use. Mm-hmm. If you were to shoot my 30-06, my 30-06 is sighted in 2 inches high at 100 yards.
Right.
So since our target's set at 100 yards, we have a bullseye that's 2 inches below the center bullseye. Mm-hmm. That's the bullseye I would aim at with my 30-06 and expect to punch out in the center of the target.
Right.
I have a 7 Magnum that's 3 inches high at 100, So we have a 3-inch bullseye underneath and a 4-inch. So there's a 100-yard center bullseye and then bullseyes that compensate for guns that are sighted in 2, 3, and 4 inches high at 100 yards.
Right.
So anybody with any caliber gun, even a muzzle loader with any kind of scope, can shoot the target, and the target measures their distance ability, their maximum hunting range, if you would. Mm-hmm. Then we have vertical and horizontal lines so that with your scope, you hold on those, and you subtly teach yourself about cant, C-A-N-T. And that is when you don't hold your gun level. You've got it tilted some degree. That doesn't make a big difference when you're shooting close, but the further you shoot out, okay, over a couple hundred yards, cant starts to impact the flight of your bullet.
Yes, it does.
So we want to teach people subtly, you got a vertical horizontal line. You keep your crosshairs that way with those lines as a reference, and it will teach you to keep your gun held properly. Mm-hmm. And the final thing that we really like that it, we took about 8 months to work on is those three additional bullseyes, the 2, 3, and 4-inch bullseyes, we found were a real benefit for hunters because it was focus training. It's learning to shoot at the spot on the leopard, not the leopard.
Right.
On our target, since the circles are concentric, your eye wants to look at that center 100-yard bullseye. Mm-hmm. That's where it wants to see. We're forcing shooters to hold to a different bullseye point. And we found with many people using our targets, at first that was very difficult for them. But the more they used it, the better focus ability they had. And we found results from this past hunting season, it made them better hunters. They focused better on a specific spot to hold. If they were holding behind the shoulder, all of them learned to look at a specific place. So the targets are pretty cool. You set them at 100 yards. They measure your distance ability. They help you with 3 or 4 other shooting skills. And again, hunters are our heroes. We want them to be more successful. We want them to have better experiences. We want other hunters to want to hunt with them. And who doesn't want to be more successful, have a better experience, and of all their hunting buddies think they're a great shot? And we think that's what our targets do.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And you know, I think one of the places that really shine is, you know, the people that may be interested in a longer range hunting, and maybe they have these hunting trips they've, you know, planned, that they've paid for and they've planned and stuff like that. But as far as practice, you know, they've only got a lot of ranges that you see, or, you know, 100-yard max for their rifle is really all they've got, or at least around here. Other parts of the country may be different, but there's many ranges around here that's really all you've got is 100 yards. Some of them push out as far as maybe 300, but, you know, certainly not, you know, 400, 500, and 600 yards. So these really shine, I think, with being able to practice and prepare on a shorter range if you know plan on going and taking that, you know, long range hunting trip.
Well, we've had two stories here. We've got some of these targets in some indoor ranges that have 100-yard ranges.
Oh wow. Yeah.
And we've had them at some outdoor ranges. We had a gentleman come to us, a really big guy, and he said, "Man, I can shoot a bull elk kneeling at 300 yards. He said, "Great, let's." So we went and put our elk target up at 100 yards, and he knelt down, and first shot was just half inch below the bullseye in our 600-yard ring at 6 o'clock. And he said, "See, I told you." I said, "Well, keep on shooting." So he shot his 5 shots, and what we found is he had 2 that were definitely in the 200-yard ring, and one was just scraping the 300-yard ring. So he scored as a 200-yard shooter. And he goes, you know, I'm not as good as I told you I was.
Right.
And I go, what led you to tell me that you could shoot 300 yards? He goes, well, I'm the best shot in my group of hunters. An elk's a pretty big target. And I thought that's how far I could shoot. Mm-hmm. He said, I've never had a target that could tell me what my skill level really was.
Right.
And, in fact, one of his hunting buddies heard his story and wanted to get some of the targets because he's not from Colorado. And he was coming out to hunt elk in Colorado. And he said, I want to take the targets, put them at 100 yards, and practice till I can get my bullets in the 300-yard ring. Because that's what people tell me I need to be prepared for. And where I live, I've never shot 300 yards.
Right.
And then a week ago, I was at a ladies' long-range shooting event at the Austin Gun Club in your beautiful state of Texas.
Awesome.
And the last day, they're shooting, and we set my target at 100 yards, and they're shooting steel out 200, 300, 400, 500, and 600 yards. Mm-hmm. Ladies are all shooting, and you'd hear them shoot, and then you'd hear the beautiful sound of steel. Blink, mm-hmm. You know, and blink. And so we had some of the women shoot. They'd shoot the steel, then they'd shoot our targets. Okay? Our targets correlated exactly with what they were shooting. We kept track of the steel they hit and how they rated there, then how they rated on our targets. Mm-hmm. And it was just amazing to see how it was consistent. They would shoot out and maybe hit a piece of steel at 600. They'd take a second shot at it and miss it. Okay? Mm-hmm. And when you'd see them shoot our paper, same thing had happened. The first shot they'd shoot, it'd rate them at 600. Mm-hmm. Second shot they shoot might have shown them at 500 or 400. And it was amazing when we got done, as we did five shots on paper versus five shots on steel, how it really gave them that true life experience that they're getting on steel at the 100-yard target. So it convinced us again, as we've had many events like this, to show us that a guy can set that target at 100 and practice those longer distance shots. And what we tell people is, if you can't make the 400 or 500-yard shot at 100 yards, where you don't have wind, you don't have bullet drop, you don't have some of these other factors,
right,
then you need to practice more or understand that's not your distance ability, okay?
Right, or effective range, as it would be.
Effective range, exactly, Chris. Great way to say it.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think with the opportunity that these targets present is the biggest opportunity anyway, is to really hone in on that consistency, because you're right, if you're out there and you want to be ethical, you know, anybody can get lucky or anybody can get out there and maybe three shots out of 10 at, you know, 400 or 500 yards, you know, put it where they need to put it. But to be able to know that, you know, you can do that consistently every single time, that's very important when you're talking about ethics, for sure.
Yeah, and we're trying to take the emotion out of it. We've all been hunting, and a shot arises, and you say to yourself, I think I can make that. Well, typically when you use that word in your thinking, you probably understand you might not. You know, there's the old poke and hope type of thought.
Right.
You know, throw the bullet out there and see what it does. And we really, why we call our targets effective range is we believe the ethics in the hunting world needs to be shooting within that effective range where you can expect the one shot humane kill because if you hunt long enough, you've wounded an animal, you've lost an animal, and those are terrible, sick feelings to have, and you never forget them. And we don't want people to have those experiences, and we know if they shoot in their effective range, that ethical distance, then they're going to not have doubt. They're going to have confidence. Mm-hmm. They're going to be more accurate. They're going to harvest more game, and they're not going to have that negative experience.
Right.
And then you and I, the whole industry benefits, because society looks at us and says, hunters really do respect the animal. They don't want the animal to suffer. They want a one-shot clean kill. And so we get kind of double benefit from it.
Sure. And it's important, too, when you're talking about, you talked about it earlier, with those new hunters and those new shooters, because you don't want to take someone on their first hunt and then them have a bad experience like that. Because that could affect them. I mean, you've spent time with them. They've shown interest, maybe. You've spent time with them, teaching them the fundamentals of firearm safety. You've spent time with them as far as trying to develop, some type of proficiency as far as marksmanship goes. And then, you take them out on that hunt, and they get their first shot on, some type of game, and they end up wounding it or whatever, and you track it, and you can't find it, and, all of this, and it ends up being a negative experience for them. And you spend all that time trying to usher them into the fold, into our community, and that could be a situation that may turn them off forever. They may not want to be doing the hunting thing again.
I've got a guy right now that hasn't hunted for 6 years, because 6 years ago, he wounded an animal and lost it. He has never forgiven himself.
Wow.
And we're trying to get him back into the fold because, again, going back to that bell curve where we're 4.5 to 5%, mm-hmm. we need to grow that number, okay? And good experiences grows that number. Mm-hmm. Now, at this long-range shooting event, two of the women came up to us afterwards and said, these are the most empowering targets they've ever used. Because the targets told them that they could go hunting and be humane and shoot and the animal wouldn't suffer.
Right.
And it's interesting, you know how those Texas women are. They're so, it's just so wonderful, their honesty. They go, and you know what, Dave? You didn't tell me, the range officer didn't tell me, my husband didn't tell me, the target told me, and I'm in charge of figuring it out for myself.
Right, it's more of a self-learning experience with these targets. Yeah,
we had a father this fall. We gave him some antelope targets. He gave them to his son, and he told his son, "Son, I'll take you antelope hunting when you can get all five of your bullets in this ring." So they go out and they shoot the first target, and he had three in the ring, one on the paper and one off the target paper itself. Mm-hmm. And the dad walked up to him and said, "What'd the target tell you?" The boy looks down at the ground, kind of at his shoes, and said, "Dad, the target told me I'm not ready to go hunting." And he says, "You're right, but don't be disappointed. Here's more targets.
Right.
Go practice, come back and see me." So about 3 weeks later, the boy comes back and said, "Dad, here they all are. Five in that circle." Dad says, "Okay, let's go out and have you show me." Boy did. They went out, and it was his first antelope hunt. He got an antelope.
Nice.
But afterwards, the success for you and I was not only the joy of the hunt for dad and son, but the boy, when he came down, he took the target, one of the targets he'd shot, and said, "Dad, now next year, if I get them all in this circle, will you let me shoot further?"
Right.
There you go. That boy has it now forever. He understands that shooting an ethical distance where you know you can make that shot is the key to a great experience. Mm-hmm. His dad didn't have to tell him. The target told him, "We've got a great hunter for life now," in that young boy.
Heck yeah.
Really cool.
Yeah, very cool story. Now, as far as products on the horizon, things you guys are thinking about for the future, is there anything this year or potentially later down the road that you guys are considering on diving into?
Yeah, we have so far right now, if you went to our website, and we have elk, mule deer, whitetail we've introduced, mm-hmm. pronghorn, bighorn sheep as a specialty target. And then we introduced by popular demand just a week ago, wild hog.
Nice. Very
okay.
nice.
Okay. So we know wild hog is popular. And then what's really cool about our targets, I failed to mention it, under the name there's a line that says vital areas similar for, and then it lists other animals.
Oh, very cool.
If you have an elk target, it'll say that's the same size for a red stag if you're going to go hunt in Argentina or New Zealand. Same size for a caribou if that's your dream. Okay, go there. The wild hog target, that's the same size as a gray wolf.
Nice, okay.
So, in fact, we have someone that went gray wolf hunting. He's on a trip right now that he was the first person to buy our wild hog target because it was for wolf, similar size. Mm-hmm. We're anxious to hear his stories when he gets back. And so we have a couple of other animals that we're going to introduce this year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we promote those. We kind of give a 30-day notice on our website. If you're on our email list, you get advanced notice. And you also get an advanced discount if you're on our email list to buy that target when it comes out. I'm starting to shoot our sheep target as my favorite practice target because April is when in Colorado you apply for your licenses, and I'm trying to draw my bighorn sheep license. So I'm trying to put that thought in the universe that I'm really going to draw this year because I'm starting to shoot bighorn sheep targets.
Right. There you go.
And we encourage anybody that's going to hunt or book to hunt through a guide that's going to hunt something that they've not hunted very much or have never hunted or never shot the distances the guide tells them they need to be prepared for is start shooting those things. If your guide said be prepared to shoot for a bull elk at 300 or 400 yards, get our targets and start shooting where you can get a group in there so that when they put you on that big bull, you're not going to have any doubt. You're going to have confidence. You can make that shot and have a story to tell for a lifetime, you know?
Right.
On the back of our targets says the science for your once-in-a-lifetime shot, and I think we should change that to say the science for your once-in-a-season shot.
There you go.
But we've got those coming out this year, and we've been actually asked by a couple conservation groups to design a couple targets for them, and we're listening to that. So I would believe you'll see the next one we're going to put out. We're debating. We're going to another show this weekend, and what we've decided to do as a company is we're going to let everybody that comes to our booth vote on which is the next animal target they would like to see us introduce, and we think that's the way we're going to decide which one it is.
Right.
We're going to let the people tell us.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
I enjoy that idea. Yeah, I mean, you're talking about the correlation to different animals. That's one thing on the target that I don't guess I noticed on there. But I will say this. You talk about the back of the target and on the bottom. Unlike, you know, a lot of the targets that folks may go out and get, just regular targets, it's basically some type of a bullseye or something on a piece of paper, and that's about all you get. You'll get a brand name on there maybe, or a lot number or something, but maybe a barcode. But with y'all stuff, there's a lot of information as well on those targets, and I really like that, from how to use the targets to a lot of what we talked about today.
It is, and so the back of every target has directions. They have two scoring examples. They have the definition of effective range that we really want to push out to the hunting community, why you should shoot our targets, some safety tips, a note from our family because we're a family-owned company. And one of the things we want to do is My family and I now practice more than we ever have, Chris, with these targets, because they're fun. Every ring means something. You shoot an NRA target, a seven ring doesn't mean anything. Every ring on our target means something. In fact, at the last show, I had a target up on the wall, and it's a antelope target, and said the person that shot it was shooting kneeling, unsupported, so it didn't have a steady stick. There was a 5 to 7 mile an hour crosswind, and his shots rated him at 500 yards kneeling.
Wow.
For an antelope. And I said, there's only one bad thing about our targets, and that is when you get that good, that person took a picture of it, sent it to his dad, and said, Dad, can you do better than this? And Chris, I've not sent my son an email back saying whether I can beat him or not.
Right.
You know? And so we have a real fun competition between my kids and the guys I hunt with now. We use these targets to practice, and we want to push them out also into the recreational shooting industry.
Sure. That was something I was going to mention earlier, and I think we got sidetracked in the conversation. But, you know, you've got people out there that, you know, they may not have any interest in hunting, but they may enjoy range games, and these could make very good range games, if nothing else.
And you made a point of it. There's a lot of places. You can't find a place to shoot 300, 400, 500, 600 yards. If you're a recreational shooter, set a target up at 100 and have that range game with your friends who can shoot that at and be rated at 400, 500, 600 yards.
Right.
And then selfishly, Chris, there are 9 million big game hunters, 9 million to 10 million in the U.S. right now. Okay, 9 to 10 million big game hunters. There's 45 million recreational shooters. So I want some of these recreational shooters to look at this, enjoy range games using our targets, and then kind of realize, hey, if I wanted to go hunting, I know I could be ethical in going hunting, and I want to steal a million or two of those recreational shooters and make them hunters.
There you go. Exactly.
Okay.
Yep. Yep, it builds that confidence, for sure.
Builds confidence, and, you know, it's fun to shoot. First of all, it's fun to only have to walk 100 yards to pick up your target.
I guarantee
and stuff.
You it is. Yes, sir.
Okay. You know, walking out 400 yards to get a target and bring it back is not as fun. It's fun when you're going to shoot, but it's not as much fun when you're done shooting.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So we think that's a real benefit, too.
And, you know, one last thing I think that I want to hit on, we haven't talked about it yet, but I was impressed at this. I've played with a lot of targets. I've laid hands on a lot of targets. And one of the things that I was impressed with yours was just the quality. A lot of stuff you see out there really flimsy and just folding it or putting it in a bag or, you know, something like that. You would rip it or tear it. And your stuff is really heavy duty. It's made to hold up. It's very high quality. So, if you put that up out there, you know, and maybe it's damp out or it's, you know, maybe, you know, it's drizzling rain or something like that, you really don't have to worry about it that much. It's very good quality paper.
Thank you. And it's actually a cardstock. We went out of the paper realm into a cardstock for it because we shoot a lot in the not the best ideal conditions. Maybe there's a little wind. Maybe there's a little moisture. Maybe you don't have a good backing to put these on. In the National Forest, a lot of times, we'll just string a rope between two trees and then clip them on like a clothesline.
There you go.
These are strong enough to really sit right for you whenever you use it.
Right.
And, yeah. That was an intentional thing, so I'm glad you noticed that, because we think the concept is top-notch, and so if you're going to have a top-notch, you know, concept and product, put it on some top-notch paper.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. So we're out of time, Dave, unfortunately. So
let me give you two quick thoughts before we sign off.
Absolutely.
Here, Chris.
Let her rip.
One is, we want the best hunters and the best shooters to be used in our target.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think the more they use it, the better they'll become, too.
No, but everybody knows who's the best shot and the best hunter. Everybody wants to be like Mike, right? Michael Jordan. They all want to be like Mike.
Right.
So let's have the best people that have the most influencing use this, because they're the ones that understand it. They understand ethics. They understand influence. So some people come to me and say, I'm a great shooter. I don't need this. I go, no, you need it more than anybody, because people are watching what you do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we want everybody to think that way. So thanks for letting me make that comment, Chris.
Oh, you absolutely. You're welcome. And if you would, if people have questions, if they want to check out some of the products and follow along on some of the things that you guys have going, what's going to be the best way for them to do that, Dave?
The easiest way for them is go to our website, EffectiveRangeTargets.com. There's a contact thing there. Write your information down. If you have a question or you have a concern or you need something answered, you just put it in there, email us, and you will hear from me. I'm the one now that's answering all those. Mm-hmm. And so I'll call you directly or email you directly, whichever you prefer, and help you through any questions may have. And then with your permission, we'll put you on the email list. We'll be telling you about stuff we're doing. By the end of this week, we will have a Facebook page and an Instagram page up.
Nice.
So we'll be starting to promote that, so you can follow us on those two social media,
right.
That's the way of the future. And so my son's going to handle that. I have a little more gray hair, so I'm answering the emails and he's doing the social media. So that's kind of how we have it divided up.
Right. Very, very good. And again, Dave, thank you for joining us. It's been a great conversation, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris. We appreciate it, too, and we'd love to do it again with you. And again, our email is, well, our website is EffectiveRangeTargets.com.
There you go. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining in on another Firearm Friday. Don't forget to log on to CloverTac.com. There you'll find our social media links, the blog, cool swag, and more. If you'd like to help support our projects and take advantage of some extra perks, you can do so over on Patreon at patreon.com/CloverTac. Have a great weekend.